This is the Omnichannel Marketer, the show where we get real about what it takes to build a brand, create a seamless omnichannel experience, and drive customer LTV across D2C, Amazon, and retail.
Today, I have
I'm Kate Stevens, the CEO of
From
Join me for unfiltered conversations from the trenches of e-commerce. We'll unpack strategies and leave you with tactical advice you can use today to drive your business forward. Let's rock and roll.
So why don't we just, you know, start with a little bit of your personal background?
Sure, absolutely. So my name's Manika, as Kate already said, and made this very big change to help some friends that had grown a business over the past 15 years in the D2C space. And it's been interesting to see the alignment between building a D2C brand and building communities and understanding insights and the things that go into that. So,
well, I'm looking forward to diving more later into kind of some of the insights that you're focused on at Graphlens. But why don't you just, you know, tell us a little bit more about the brand, kind of, you know, what are some of the brand origins, you know, a little bit more about kind of state of the brand today.
Sure. So the brand, like I said, was founded in 2008 by the founders Holga Graf and Daniel Lance. So hence the name Graphlens. And they really started it because it was an opportunity for them to do something that they felt good about. They weren't the type of people that wanted to have day jobs or report into a boss. They really wanted to be able to do their own thing. And the idea for it really started when Holga, sorry, was in Germany, which is where he was grew up. And he saw merino wool felt, which is something he grew up with there, and was like, you know what? This is really an overlooked material. It's not leveraged in the U.S. Maybe there's an opportunity here. He bought a roll while he was there, came back to LA, and in their living room created one of their first products. And it really just started from there. It's a very homegrown company. Most of our products are made in LA, and everything's designed, developed in LA. And I think one of the things that's really helped the brand grow is its focus on sustainable, unconventional materials and this focus on quality as a core element of what we deliver, which really informs the longevity of the product and the beauty at the same time. So it's been fun.
Amazing. And, you know, you mentioned when we kicked things off that you describe it as a D2C brand. You know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, was D2C the first channel? Is that, you know, what other channels is Graphlens in?
Sure. Well, when the brand started, they did actually, Holga created a site. He said it wasn't that great. So D2C was always something that they envisioned for the brand as a channel. But really their start was in the show space. So they were going to trade shows and working the wholesale angle. And that's really what helped the brand grow. They are really today in, I think, over 700 stores across the country, specialty stores. So that's really the crux of our community and the majority of our wholesale business. And then in addition to the wholesale business, we have some dropship partners with key accounts. And we also have our D2C business. And then we have a small part of our revenue coming from Amazon.
And, you know, how do you think about, you know, bridging the gap across all of those channels and creating a consistent experience across, you know, all those different, you know, 700 different wholesale partners?
I think it's interesting because the management and cultivation of the relationship with our specialty retailers is very similar to how you're cultivating the relationship with an end customer, because at the end of the day, their AOV is maybe 10 times more than the D2C customer, but it's still like you're really trying to drive retention and LTV and all of these acronyms that are important to kind of creating growth. So there's an element of we want to make sure they understand the value that we're delivering to them. We want to make sure that they see newness from the brand and things that excite them. We want to make sure they have access to the founders. A lot of the specialty stores that we work with have known Daniel and Holga because they went to a trade show and like talked to them like 10 years ago, right? So there's a very big loyalty strategy around how we continue to cultivate that part of our business. In addition, I think it's making sure that we're not turning them off unintentionally. And that includes, you know, being very mindful about where the brand shows up outside of specialty. So if we are working to be in a key account, how does that complement the things that people find in the specialty stores, and being thoughtful about the assortment as well? That's a big focus for us is when we think about Amazon too. Like we don't see Amazon as a core platform for our full assortment. We see it as an opportunity to create convenience for that discovery element, right? It's an easy place for people to find us and get that initial dose of Graff Lance. And then hopefully that drives them to the other channels for the larger assortment.
And so how, you know, let's go a little bit deeper into the wholesale partnerships and, you know, how you're acquiring them, how you're, you know, building that loyalty. Would love to, you know, dive into even, you know, how many trade shows are you guys going to per year? You know, how do you think about that as, you know, both an acquisition of new trade, of new wholesale partners and a retention strategy?
Yeah. So, I mean, pre-COVID, trade shows were a pretty big driver of the wholesale growth. Post-COVID, it slowed down a bit, and we just went back to Shop Object in February this year, which is a big show for the gifting and specialty industry. So we're planning, that's really our core show that we're focused on. It's an important one. It's where a lot of the stores that we want to be in go to. And I think the other piece is really, you know, we work with showrooms, right? So historically, the majority of our business in specialty has been more on the West Coast, which is, you know, aligned with where the brand started. And a big focus for us last year was trying to really expand across the country and then also into Canada. And the best way to really drive that growth is to partner with showrooms and reps that really understand those regions. So that has been a focus for us, establishing those relationships. And then on top of that, I think it's education, right? Like, I think there's this engagement element to how you build the relationships. We want them to feel like they can talk to the brand, they understand where the brand's coming from. That's important for them in terms of how they place the product in their stores, how they engage with the customers about it. So those have been kind of key areas of focus. As we look internationally as well, we see that as an opportunity. There's things like Fair, which are these online marketplaces that we're considering. So I think we see that there's tons more opportunity in growing this part of our business. We've really only scratched the surface. But in the context of that, we have to be really mindful of, like, we don't want a leaky bucket. We don't want to, like, lose the, like, core that we've already developed. We want to make sure that we're building on top of that and creating more value.
And so what is a showroom exactly? Is it, you know, tell me a little bit more about what that is.
I mean, I think it's evolving, honestly. Like, the more classic sense of it is like the multi-line showroom where they'll have an actual space and like multiple brands displayed, just like going into a store, but set up for buyers. And that still exists. I think we're seeing a lot more reps that are on the road that are taking the wares and actually going and visiting the stores. So it can be a very varied things. And then there's just the multiple shows that the reps might represent the brands at. There's one in Vegas. There's one, you know, they're one in Atlanta, they're all over the place. So it's a variety of things. But I think as anything, when it comes to selling, it's really about that being really clear. Make it easy is what we hear from a lot of our buyers. Like, I don't want to have to like figure out what to buy. Like, I want you to help me and understand. And we have a broad assortment. We have over 700 SKUs. So that idea of making it easy is really important in terms of how we drive those sales.
And so what are some of the ways that you are making it easy? Because I could imagine 700 SKUs could be overwhelming to a buyer. So how do you curate that? You know, what platforms are you using to make it easier from a, you know, technology perspective for them?
It's honestly a work in progress, an ongoing effort to be better. But I think, you know, the core products that really drive our wholesale business are the coasters, our famous coasters. If you haven't tried them, they're so deceptively simple, but they're coasters that work and they're beautiful and they come in lots of different colors. So that's a place that a lot of the stores start, and it's an easy entry point. They're beautifully packaged and we have displays for them. So that's one way that we kind of drive ease of purchasing. We noticed early on, though, that our We were selling our placemats and trivets without packaging. So that was a big effort last year, is to develop packaging. We're rolling that out soon. Again, that's another way of making things easy for the retailer so that they can easily display it and it looks like welcoming for the customer. I think we're also looking at curating starter packs. So if you're a new store and you've never worked with us, here's like an amazing assortment to start with. So those are some of the ways. But I mean, I will tell you, even on the D2C side, this is a challenge, right? It's like, how do you avoid that choice paralysis? How do you ensure that there's a curated kind of experience? So on the D2C side, one of the technology enhancements that we're working on right now and planning to roll out in the summer is shop by color. Mm-hmm. Now, shop by color seems really basic, but when you look at a lot of sites, it's actually at the category level, not at the holistic kind of main shopping level. And for us, we think, as we think about kind of the personas and the shopper journeys that our customers are taking, we see a lot of customers come to our site and they're like, planning decor for their living room or planning like, you know, their tablescape for whatever dinner party they have. And they probably have a color story in mind or like a theme in mind. So this gives you the opportunity to like pick the different colors, pick the different categories of products that you're looking for, and get a much more customized search return. Again, driving that kind of customer journey into a more curated experience. So those are some of the ways, because I think we hear from our customers, they like having this color assortment. They like having all of these like interesting and unique colors. But with that comes multipliers of SKUs as well. So,
and where are your D2C customers typically discovering your brand?
So I think it's a combination. When I first started at the brand, we actually did one of our first customer surveys. And of course, it was with our D2C brands, our customers. So it was anyone who had shopped on our D2C site. But asking that question and understanding where they're coming from, a good chunk of them, maybe like a third, said they had found us in a store. So that's obviously why wholesale is such an important channel for us. It's a big driver of discovery. And the other piece was word of mouth. And I think this really speaks to how the brand has grown organically over the years. It's consistently grown year over year in the core assortment. And we hear anecdotally from a lot of our customers, I was at my friend's house and I saw these cool coasters and I went and got them myself, or my mom gave them to me for my birthday, or whatever it might be. So like that's a big element of kind of what's organically helped to grow the brand as well.
So I think, you know, you shared that you've been growing 25% year over year, you know, despite you know, challenges that others are experiencing, you know, especially in D2C around, you know, iOS 14, et cetera. What do you think it is about the brand that is, you know, driving some of that core growth?
Well, I think the community is just getting larger and more people are hearing about it and learning about it. And that includes on the retailer side and the wholesale side. But I will tell you, over COVID, the founders, like a lot of brands, created a mask. And again, they put all of the things into that mask that they do in all their products, which is quality, design, utility, beauty. And it took off as a mask. It was written up in Wirecutter as the best cloth mask. And that grew our customer base by 14 times. Now, not all of those customers stayed with us to buy across the assortment, but it drove up our brand awareness incredibly. And we actually found that we had unaided brand awareness of 14%. So that is really high for a brand of our size. And that obviously helped to bring a lot more attention to the brand. And we wanted to make sure we were capitalizing on that greater awareness to bring more people into the assortment. So we think that has helped in the more recent years. I will tell you, the growth from the masks was large, right? And offsetting that, the mask decline is obviously one of the biggest challenges for the brand. But in looking at the core assortment, that is continuing to grow at that rate.
And what is a D2C to wholesale, you know, as an approximate breakdown look like right now?
Right now, it's about 60-40. I would say over the pandemic, it was more 70-30 D2C. Pre-pandemic, it was actually more wholesale. So it's been interesting to see kind of the evolution of the brand and the equalizing of it post-pandemic.
What are kind of expectations going forward? If it's, you know, 60-40 now, do you expect wholesale to be, you know, to be the growing share of that pie? Or, you know, how do you think about that?
Yeah, it's definitely from a kind of strat plan perspective, wholesale is where we see a big opportunity, but not just in the context of specialty, I would say more B2B. And this comes into like an example of where insights or data has played a role in the decisions we're making, because we've seen, like, we'll see like a large AOV or a large, sorry, cart size in our D2C business. And we're like, who bought this? And we kind of always dig into those. And it's like some like random boutique hotel or some like corporate office space or something, right? So there's people coming to our site, to our D2C site, buying like tissue box covers for all of their desks in their office space. So that to us triggered an opportunity, which we've been really focused on in the last kind of 6 months, is how do we build out our B2B offering and really go after that more proactively. The other piece of wholesale that we're focused on is custom. That's an area that has always been a part of the brand, but it's really growing year over year. And what we're seeing is that in the corporate swag space, people are really looking for things that aren't junk, that aren't things that they're just going to throw away. And because what we make is that high level of quality, it's built to last, we're seeing a lot more interest in that as well. So it's really diversifying wholesale too. It's not just like focusing on the same kind of path we've always
growing been. The same. Yeah. And what is growing B2B and resourcing the company look like for you? Or, you know, what's the plan there?
It's a work in progress, right? We're a small company. So we really have to prioritize where we place our energy, and selling in the B2B space is a very different proposition than D2C, right? It's like a much longer sales cycle. There's a lot more relationship cultivation. The value proposition is different. Even in hospitality, you know, there's like all of these layers you have to get through. There's the design firms, there's the actual corporate brand, then there's the franchise brand. Like, it's like all types of things. So I would say we haven't figured it all out. We are in the process of that, but I think we're looking at starting small. I mean, that's the same thing with our international expansion as well. It's like not try to like bite off more than we can chew, and being really intentional about where we focus and really looking at where we can deliver value. Because at the same time, like, we don't want to just plaster the world with Graf Lance with no vision or focus, right? We want to make sure that the hotels that we are in are hotels that we really believe in and that align with our values, and that there are places where we can really bring an additional layer of value, beauty, experience to the customers.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So before we started recording, we were talking about, you know, how you are passionate about building a loyal customer base. Could you, you know, tell me a little bit more about, you know, how you think about that, why you think that's important?
Absolutely. So that's actually my background in my work experience has always had an element of community building from the early days of the early aughts and building some of the earliest online communities that are now known as social media. And I would say that in my learning of that, you see that how you build advocacy, how you build relationships is really driven by creating that opportunity to engage meaningfully. And so I think from the perspective of Graf Lance, that is something that's really core to what Daniel and Holga believe in. Daniel talks about the golden rule a lot. And with his kind of time in Japan, where customer service is like the utmost importance, it's like, how can we consistently deliver at a better level? And that kind of driving force in terms of really considering the customer in every decision we make is something that I think is very important to that loyalty strategy. We launched a loyalty program for the first time at the brand 2 years ago. It continues to grow, which has been great. But one of the biggest things that we introduced in the last 6 months is more experiential or intrinsic value drivers. So it's not just like points and like opportunities to like get discounts. There's like, we did Zoom presentations with Daniel where they can ask questions about how to care for the products or early access to things or invites to events we're having. So it feels more like you're part of the circle versus just like it's an opportunity to drive more growth for the brand. And that, I think, is the bigger piece, is the intrinsic elements of that.
Mm. Yeah, no, I love that. And what software are you using to power your loyalty?
We're using Loyalty Lion.
Loyalty Lion. Okay, awesome. And what do you think, like, where do you see brands struggling with, you know, building community? Like, what do you think that they're, you know, most often doing incorrectly?
Delivering on the value proposition. Hmm. I think, like, or, well, I guess I would say defining a value proposition for that and then actually delivering on it. Those are the two biggest things, because if you think about, like, the best loyalty programs out there, like Delta, that's a good one. That motivates you. But mm-hmm. you can see why, because there's a very clear value that you get from it. And you can feel it when you don't have that. I lost my platinum status last year. I'm very sad.
And it's painful. And that's like, you actually care about having that loyalty status. That's a good one. All right. So transitioning into our lightning round, what is your favorite omnichannel brand?
You know, when you asked me this earlier, I was thinking about it. I will have to go with the classic. I have to go with Nike. Because interesting to me about Nike is how they just, every generation continues to have an experience with them. I see my 11-year-old like coveting his dunks now, mm-hmm. you know, like it's just really amazing how they've continued to make that brand mean something to so many people.
Completely agree. What would you like to change about our industry?
Well, I kind of see it happening already. It's been this kind of trend of people talking about don't focus at growth at all costs. Focus on sustainable growth and profitable growth. It's a pretty core concept when you think about how to build a business, but I'm glad to see that that's being valued at some level. And I know it's an element of the economy and the dollars that are there, but it's a really important piece because we're a bootstrap brand. We're not a brand that has like millions of dollars to play with. And I think that's really important because it levels the playing field at some level too. It creates the opportunity for brands that might not have those millions of dollars to have an opportunity to shine. And I also think that there's just this hustle growth mentality that was getting a little too crazy. And it's nice to just slow down and be thoughtful about what does it mean to sustainably grow? What does mm-hmm. it mean to like actually deliver purpose and value to customers. So it's been nice to see that that's being kind of calibrated right now.
A little bit of correction there, and much needed correction. Favorite podcast?
I really like the Huberman Lab. If you haven't heard it, Andrew Huberman.
I haven't.
He's a neuroscientist from Stanford. He covers some really interesting topics. One of the ones that I've been telling everyone about recently is he talked to Rick Rubin about his new book, Creativity. It was really interesting. Listen, it's like 2 hours. So like use your car time, I guess, or your subway time for that. But yeah, he's really great.
Cool. I'll check it out. Favorite newsletter?
I was thinking about this one when you sent it. I don't know if I have a favorite newsletter. I do get this one called The Newsette. And it's kind of my like connection to like younger millennials, because I am not one of those. But it's a good kind of view on just like what's trending and what's going on in the style, fashion, home goods area.
Great. And what is your favorite social media channel?
None of the above. No.
Don't like any social media.
I think about social media because it's been part of my career for so long. I love all types of social media because I think they all have value to give, but I have a love-hate relationship with all of them.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. But could you pick a favorite?
Yeah, my app tracker on my phone would probably reveal that Instagram is the one I look at the most, but I would say a lot of that is for my job, not necessarily mm-hmm. for my personal perspective. But I do see how my 11-year-old loves TikTok. So
totally. Yes, TikTok is very, very interesting and engaging. And I will say I get a personal checkmark win when my phone tells me that my screen time has decreased on a weekly basis.
Like, literally,
yes. Favorite book?
Favorite book. Well, I just recently was reading, well, actually not recently, but it's one of my favorite books because I go back to it a lot. It's called Good is the New Cool by Afdal Aziz and Bobby Jones. It's a really great book because they actually went out and interviewed business leaders who are actually trying to change kind of the focus of how corporations are built and how brands are built and making sure good is injected into that. So I recommend everyone check it out.
I'll definitely have to check that one out. Favorite event that you're excited about attending this year?
Coachella. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to Coachella.
It just passed, right? Or I guess wasn't it last weekend? Or is there another one this weekend?
weekend to this weekend. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. We're doing Shop Object again in August. So I think that will be exciting for us. The other event that I am trying to go to is HD Expo. And again, going back to my hospitality conversation, it's one of the bigger hospitality expos. I'm just excited to like meet people, discover the like environment and like learn more. That's a big motivating element for me. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Manika, really enjoyed this chat. Where can our listeners connect with you?
You can connect with the brand on Instagram at Graf Lance, and you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search my name.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed this conversation. It was so nice to chat with you.
Thank you for having me, Kate. I really enjoyed it.
If you liked this podcast, follow me and the Bridge page on LinkedIn and Twitter for hot takes and tactical advice. If you really loved today's episode, we'd love a review on the podcasting platform of your choice, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thanks for listening.